Brought to you by Grow Generation. Today's episode of the Cantina is, whether on Dagobah or Tatooine you are, everything you need to grow right where you are, they have. Later in the episode, more on them you will hear.
Welcome to a galaxy far, far away. Here at the Cantina Podcast, we provide top shelf service, including rumors, leaks, news, and reviews. Come in, order a Loman Ale, and remember, no droids allowed.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Cantina, the Genreverse Podcast Network's Star Wars show. That's it. It's Star Wars. And if there's news, we're usually talking about that, the occasional leak or something that interesting that we've seen or heard about Star Wars. But right now, not a lot of news. Probably a good thing given the last couple months, but we are reviewing the book of Boba Fett. This week marks chapter 3. Wait, I don't want to get shot by Nazis, so I'll do it this way.
Oh,
come on, guys. There you go. Inglorious Bastards reference.
I didn't get that. Sorry.
Inglorious Bastards.
In Germany, how they hold up three fingers, and in Inglorious Bastards, the spy holds up the very, very, you know, normal
common
to
use.
Most English-speaking
right.
people. Of
right,
this.
I get it. Right.
I've only
seen the film once because I love it for a Tarantino film. So.
I actually usually do eat this or this as kind of like an odd one.
Yeah.
And then, but I usually do this.
Yeah, I would do that.
But I had time as a kid in Germany. I had friends with German parents and then stationed in Germany myself. And I picked it up enough that I'll do it from time to time.
So
anyways,
welcome to Travels Around the World and Finger Sings. We will be going through the universal
fun with fingers
for 3,
fingers.
4, and 5 this week. And our special letter will be the letter E.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Guys, as you can tell, we like to have a lot of fun here. I'm Kyle. The Scottish guy over there was Cam, and the other guy wearing the Superman man hoodie is Shockey. What's up, bud?
Not too much.
You guys, how you guys feeling now? We're deep into 2022, you know, two weeks into January. Book of Boba Fett's 3 weeks in, and people are already wondering about what's next. But Cam, just how's your 2022 going so far, man? In the entertainment world, not in real life. Real life sucks.
Right. I mean, the guest. I don't know. I'm going to watch Eternals tonight because that's the first time it's been on Disney Plus. I didn't see
good
it
luck.
At theaters.
It's a good movie to fall asleep to. You're gonna.
I watched.
Gonna make it easy.
Theaters, which wasn't quite as bad as Kel said, but it wasn't great either. But my kids liked it. I don't know. Dexter's been all right. But yeah, the kind of highlight for me probably is at the Book moment is Book of Boba Fett. Yeah.
Oh, No Way Home. No Way Home's the highlight.
I'm kind of think I saw it I saw it in 2021, man. That's fucking so last year. That
movie. Oh, that's right. It was 2021. God, what am I thinking? Jeez.
Exactly. See, how's Shockey's 2022 going?
Well, apparently not that good if I'm still living in 2021. Yeah. You know? But yeah, I mean, it's just Book of Boba Fett pretty much for me since No Way Home was it. I might watch Eternals tonight too to put me to sleep, you know?
Christine hasn't watched it yet. She knows that I didn't like what I saw.
This is how my 2022 is going right now. My wife ordered me a buffalo cauliflower sandwich, which she thought was a buffalo chicken sandwich for lunch. So it's not going too well, guys. I've never had buffalo cauliflower.
That's awful.
Yeah.
I tried it. It's not good.
It's not.
You might dig it, but I didn't. Anyways, guys, now that we're
anyway,
all done catching
Boba,
up
yes.
with stuff. Boba Fett, where? So Book of Boba Fett chapter 3 is getting some mixed reactions online due to some stuff. Just kind of like the show in general has been getting mixed reactions. A lot of people really like a lot of stuff, but there's a lot of people like me that have like these glaring issues with it that just you can't get away from because that's what it is. But mm-hmm. it's starting to become grating to me. I'm not sure about others. I really want to like the show more than I do. Like, honestly, if I wasn't doing the Cantina after seeing this episode, if I wasn't doing this show, I think I would be actually willing to stop, wait for the rest of it to come out
and
before
just
I watched anymore.
Binge it then so that you can get the full. I can
no
get that.
Joke,
so I'm not giving
man.
It up completely, but you're kind of not enjoying the weekly
yeah.
format. I get
not,
that.
Not for
I
this that. Not for this one. There's plenty of shows that I do, but not
I'm
this
kinda,
one. Three episode rule almost.
I'm kind of still liking the story, but I have had some issues as well, but I'm still engaged with the story. So like,
yeah.
the script's good, I think. Mm-hmm. Not so loving some of the way it's
execution
been put forward. Yeah. Execution's perfect. That's the word I'm looking for.
Here's yeah. where like I kind of feel you on this is that the story the, you know is good so far. Here's mm-hmm. where it bogs, like I think is holding me back from saying this is amazing, is that the restrictions and the protocols that were put in place to film during COVID, you can see this now, all right? Mm-hmm. If you notice that Tamora Morrison and Ming-Na Wen are the only two together unmasked. Everyone else
yeah.
who comes in close contact is masked up. You can see now after
or
three
they're
episodes.
They're masked up. And
yeah. yeah. Or, yeah, right. They put their mask on. You could see the social distancing. Everything is so spaced out. There's no real connectedness. Even like the interaction between Tamora Morrison and Danny Trejo, I was watching that scene and I noticed they stay separated mm-hmm. the entire time. And so for me, there's that lost connectivity amongst yeah. the characters. I think the reason why people are like, prefer the Tusken Raider scenes is because the Tusken Raiders are all masked up to more
so they
Morrison
can
kinda, not, so they can get closer together.
And the shorts and, are kind of every
yeah,
shorts,
shots are
kind of wide, isn't it?
Yes, yes. And so you're kind of lost. There's no action because you can't. You at this point in time, they didn't want to take the risk by having all the everybody fighting each other, getting in close contact with each other, and then somebody risk getting COVID and shutting down production. So
yeah.
it's and they were
surely
limited to
the
volume.
You know, yeah. I mean, they could have been really safe by just having it go. My name is Boba Fett. I'm going to tell you my story, and it's just some guy telling his story. You know,
right?
Shit.
Yeah.
No one would like it, but
right,
you know,
exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like funny because Robert Rodriguez, I remember directors do this, producers do this. You know, he was saying it's going to over deliver. He was really hyping it up, you know, before.
Yeah,
before
that was
release.
A tough one.
And I kind of not quite seeing that at the moment. And yeah, I don't think I had really noticed what you were talking about until you said that.
Yeah, Mike,
putting that
straight
together.
Up.
And yeah, I see it now. I think you're right.
I think that's where that disconnect is for a lot of fans
yeah.
is because
it might be part of
it's
it.
It's because there's not really a whole lot of interaction with characters. It's very short and quick scenes when you see Tamora with new characters or anybody. So it's all due to COVID protocols. And so hopefully the second – and another thing too is that I think we've learned from Mandalorian – is that the first half of each season is kind of the build-up, and then everything's
yeah.
loaded for the second half. So I think we're going to get more of that kind of with Book of Boba Fett, where the second half is going to be loaded with more of those aha moments or wow moments.
Well, I think we're, given what happened this week, we're going to see him ride a Rancor at some point, right?
Oh,
I mean, that's going to happen. And it's funny because it's one of the only scenes that we kind of, that there was a leak about, if you like.
Right,
and
exactly.
somebody had said, you know, because we didn't know for sure, but we had reported it on the site to say that, you know, I think it was Star Wars Newsnet had said, there's a scene where, you know, Boba Fett's, and they didn't know whether he was fighting against it, he was on it, but there was a big mm-hmm. Rancor scene. And then, you know, the Rancor turns up this week and you're like, okay, yeah, I
yep.
can see where that's going.
Yep. It's... There's other things that I have issues with, but like you said, Shaki, you can see those things, and you start noticing the blocking afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
I went back and looked at a few things, those that don't know what blocking is, talking about where people and props and things are placed on set for the point of view from the audience, whether it's camera or stage. But the blocking is very, very not what you would expect. And,
right.
And very, very off when it's, you know, not masked up people.
Let me ask you guys this, though. Did you notice it the same last week? Because last week we had a different director, right?
They're similar. Yeah. When they've got people, that's why there's so much, first off, so much like Shaki pointed out, the Tusken flashbacks, but also why there's so few human characters interacting with Ming-Na and Boba Fett,
right,
or humanoid, anything that can put a mask on or put a face over, that's what you see them interacting with. And when it's humans or humanoids, there's a lot more distance.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Because
yeah, I was talking to Corey from Convor Call, and formerly KRT, shout out to those guys.
Oh yeah.
He mentioned it to me at first, like, you know, remember that, you know, because I was telling him, we were talking about how, you know, I was kind of mixed on it. He's like, well, think about it this way. Remember they were filming it like right during the height of COVID, when all the protocols were really in place. You know, prior to this, it was more or less wear a mask when you can, but there wasn't anything like about 6 feet distance. So like Mando season 2 finished up right before the COVID shutdown hit. They did a couple things after, but there, so we got that. So this was the first show to really implement those rules. And he's like, you know, notice that, how different it is from Mando. And then, so I went back and watched the first episode, saw that, then second and third episode. Now I'm like, yeah, it's, you know, it's tough. It's we're really seeing it.
I mean,
you know, the effects of the protocols.
The question is, do we give them leeway for that, or
you try? No? But
I mean,
there's issues.
You can try, but you can only call you see it as well. But yeah, Kyle. I mean, let's. What are some of these other issues? Because I think we may agree on some of these things, maybe not others. So,
I guess. So one of the, let me finish writing this down real quick. One of the things I pointed out in the last couple episodes were things that take me out of the galaxy far, far away, out of the Star Wars universe. I mentioned the Boston Dynamics dogs, the mouse, the train technology, saying the train is okay in and of itself, but the engine room, trying to replicate the steam engine and the boiler shots and stuff like that, that was just, it was too much. And then this week, oh my God, this week we got the hot Viking teenagers from Tatooine versus the hot rotting teenagers from Dimension X. Shout out to the TMNT. And lo and behold, this swoop gang, speeder bike gang is... They're riding motorcycles, decked out as Mike shared in a shout out to the mod scene from the 60s. Saw a bit of a revival in the 80s there in the UK, mostly in England. Did this spread up north, Cam? Did you know some mods?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, well, not me personally, but like I remember them when they were young because they all wore the same jackets.
And then these bikes, first off, they really dragged down that chase scene. Their maneuvering,
that was
the effects. Oh my God!
To me, it felt like they needed to speed that up.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely. But they're so bulky. Literally, this is all they did. They took Earth motorbikes and took the wheels off and gave it a flat bottom. That is it. That is it. It's got all the same. But yeah, they added some extra shit. Got it, guys. I'm oversimplifying. I'm tracking. And that's to the audience. These guys aren't judging me like you are. Anyways, they're just bikes. And so here it is again, another week and another episode and another big thing where, dude, I'm down with the teens. I'm down with the modifications. I think some of the modifications didn't, the effects didn't go very, very well. But I'm fine with everything except the goddamn bikes.
Well, I didn't even like the land speeder.
Oh.
The land speeder looked like a Cadillac.
Also looked bad too.
I mean, it looked nothing like Luke's land speeder in A New Hope.
I think it was supposed to be a bit more upmarket.
Right,
compared to Luke's, which is a piece of shit, you know. So it's like genuinely somebody driving about in a Cadillac to someone having a, you know, hey, it's my first car.
But to Kyle's point, right? When you watch A New Hope and you see that land speeder, crappy land speeder or not, it still looks like something out of this world. But then when you watch this episode, I mean, he's got a normal steering wheel and he's steering it just like a normal car. It's got the same type of grill front that you would see on a, you know, an old school 50s, 60s, you know, Cadillac types, you know, ordeal. And so with that, with the bikes, I was like, this is a scene from E.T. where the kids are riding their bicycles, you know, trying to outrun the cars.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't make any sense or whatever. You know?
I felt it was trying to harken back, because here they try to do the crime. Finally, we're almost done with the Tuskens stuff, because lo and behold, what everyone saw coming a million miles away. Village destroyed.
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed though with that.
How little
they come back dead.
Yeah.
He kind of mourns a lot, but his acting's great in that scene. Don't get me wrong, the way he sells it all, just the facial expressions.
Something.
But it was kind of a little bit quick, and that's kind of something I was kind of expecting that we were going to build up to. You're like, maybe this week is a big dramatic thing, and it kind of was just dull.
I took that. We finally get to the crime boss stuff. Because they're talking about the map. She says, you're part of a family. We get the eating scene. The word tribute's thrown around a couple of times. Gift is done. I saw the chase scene as scenes from some of those old organized crime movies where there's a chase through a Chinatown or little Italy. Some people are on bikes and the gangsters are in their car. That's kind of what I felt they're hearkening back to, which in a way is almost kind of bad on the showrunners and directors for kind of quick whiplash from Western to gangster film. You know what I'm saying? It's not blended as well as I think it could have been, right?
Yeah.
I'm down
with
them
instead of the
doing
bikes,
it,
if they
would have
done. Yeah. I think instead of the bikes, if they use some sort of creature, you know, to chase after, I think it's more believable to me, you know.
Yeah. Even, I mean, so, you know, to like be a fair, the bikes would have worked if they just looked like bikes that not very
swoops,
really poor people would have. I mean, that's the thing where maybe the mayor's car doesn't bother me as well. I even said car, there you go. But the mayor's speeder doesn't bother, or like his aid speeder doesn't bother me as much because they've got money, right? And it looks out of place. It doesn't fit Tatooine, but I let it go because of that. What I don't get though is, again, fine with these teens, you know, they were quite cool actually. Apart from that, but they must be skint. They were still having to steal water, you know, basically. Mm-hmm. So these are poor. They would have, you know, it would be more like hot
candy colored bikes,
bits put together. It would look like shit, but probably run like a million miles an hour. Yeah. That's what they would have. Not these kind of weird
the speeder bike version.
Well, I don't think they're necessarily poor. I know here's the weird thing about those characters is that they kind of wanted to classify them as poor, but at the same time too, they spend all their money on modifying themselves. So it's kind of like
I don't feel bad for you. Fucking you.
You're spending your money. You could have bought.
You're almost like a real millennial, you know.
Yeah.
It's almost like a real mismanaging money, you know. Left
yeah,
and right.
You
know, so I think they nailed that one right there. But the whole thing that I don't know if you guys, but to me, what the whole thing that bothered me was they do the whole chase scene, and right then and there, Boba lands on his jetpack. I'm like, you tell me he couldn't just lift it off on his jetpack and land it on where the,
like landing on top of the
I played Battlefront 2 way too much. Yeah, because I think I played Battlefront 2 way too much, because whether you're one of the jetpack stormtroopers or you're Boba Fett, you basically use the jetpack and you can go a very far distance and, you know, land in front of it, you know, your opponents and take them out and then jump right back to wherever you need to. Oh, so
it's just like how does Chrysanthemum or whatever, Black Chrysanthemum, however you pronounce it,
Chrysanthemum.
How the fuck does he get past all of those people? Only for all of those people then to come back and be like,
see, that was
there's so many little things that are adding up.
I love that fight scene though.
Oh, it's a great fight scene.
I like the fight scene. Yeah, that's the problem. It's just the setup.
I needed to see like some of the teens knocked unconscious.
Black Chrysanthemum picking a lock. You know, like.
something because I just. That they really are making it. They are making it look like Boba Fett is the most inept person ever.
Well, at least the people that he's employing are inept anyway. Do you know what I mean?
If you hire idiots,
true. I don't think they are trying to portray them as idiots, but it's just as you say, they don't give us a. How does he get there? You know.
I'm okay with that.
I'm almost like he jumped to a dream.
I'm okay.
And the other
thing
I didn't like about BK was when they let him go at the end. You know, this big mean ass bounty hunter, and he starts running like a little jog away. I didn't like that. I think that
sets up for a spinoff. I think that that's what.
Potentially, but he should have walked away because he's a badass. And like looked back, went, you know, and walked away. He doesn't need to run away, you know. And it looked stupid when he ran. It was like,
maybe he needed a ride. Maybe he was like, wait, Hutt's twins, I need a ride.
Yeah, but that, you know, that's exactly what it was like. Oh, guys. But he didn't even go the same direction as them. He just kind of like wanders off. I want to see a spin-off where it's like 10 years later and Black Chrysanthemum's still running across that desert.
So, yeah, that's really my biggest gripe so far is there's little writing issues where, like I say, there's like a tone shift. I mentioned that in the first episode, or where you're really just not utilizing things to their most potential. But the biggest thing is just constantly being ripped out of Star Wars.
Yeah.
And I, you know, look, there's my dad. I was telling him about this. He brought up Battlestar Galactica, and I was like, Dad, Battlestar Galactica though is commenting on humans and two things primarily: war and technology, and things that we were very freaked out about in the 70s, 80s, and then the reimagining did a great job. I was like, I expect commentary. That's not really escapism. Right. That's commentary on contemporary stuff.
You know.
BSG, this is supposed to be escapism. Star Wars is never, I don't care what people think, today, Star Wars was always meant to be escapism. That's why all of the shit in it comes back from classical stories and World War II, too. You know, like, that's it. That's it. There's no hippie movement here. There's no Vietnam-ish issue here. There's nothing from 1977 truly other than clothes and hair reflected in Star Wars. And
it's one of the reasons the original film was so popular, because movies at that time were very going so dark political. And going so political, and everyone had to have a commentary. And don't get me wrong, they were making some damn good films.
In the 70s, oh my God.
But wasn't... You know, it was a kind of films that people our age loved. You know, there wasn't anything to get kids into theaters and get them excited about it. And Star Wars gave people that escapism, because it was fantasy again. It was the pirate, the hero, the princess, the evil lord. You know what I mean? And that's ultimately what Star Wars is about. And it's branched out a little bit now, and we're supposed to be exploring the underworld. I'm fine with that, but as you say, these things could easily have been designed differently. So whoever's designing for Book of Boba Fett, I think they're doing a bad job of that. You know, it's not the story. I don't think I've got an issue with what Jon Favreau's writing on the page.
Overall,
I think I've got an issue with what Robert Rodriguez is putting on the screen so far, specifically, because I think I enjoyed episode two far more, and it wasn't him that directed that. So, you know, I'm not having a go specifically because I love these episodes in The Mandalorian. But, you know, when you watch a Robert Rodriguez film, there's a cheapness to it, right? Mm-hmm. You know, that I think it works for him. It's his style. That doesn't work in Star Wars, you know. And some of it looked cheap, what we saw this week. And I just don't like that.
Shaka, is there any other gripes you wanted to get out the way before we take a quick break and come back with some positives?
It's what the hell is with Tatooine? Why is everything on? I was expecting, so you know, like the Kenobi show, we're like very fearful that we're gonna just watch Kenobi be on Tatooine the entire time. Mm-hmm. Like that's now my gripe with this show is like I was hoping that, you know, both that sets up Jabba's, you know, or sets up as the gangster, but at least he's got his ship. Let's see him go to another planet or two and stuff. But it seems like everything deals with Tatooine. And it's like, and even the, you know, the Hutt say, it's like, leave Tatooine. There's nothing here. Like, what is with this planet? I can't wait for the Pikes to show like, hey, there's really a, you know, an immense amount of gold here and you guys never knew about it or something. Or,
but
you know,
I think it's a hubbub of the underworld. It's somewhere where you can go and do business. So
but I think if you're going to do a show,
but they're not even using that advantage. Why haven't we been to Nal Hutta, Narshada?
Right, exactly.
Why haven't we been anywhere other than Mos fucking Espa?
Maybe we will. But yeah, I get it.
But we're three episodes in.
When we went to Mos Eisley,
we are.
Did you notice the Mandalorian cameo character in the background?
Yeah. I think that was to tell us that he had been with the Tuskens for five years. I think that answered
that was it.
When he comes into the city, into Mos Espa, wearing the black cloak from the Raiders, and we see them pounding in the spike. That's five. So
you know,
that's
it,
a long time at the village.
Oh, I
would have liked to see
name,
that
the mechanic
more.
Walked by. We are little
with our
droids
episode one droids. Yep. So yeah. All right, guys. Well, we're gonna take a quick word from Grow Generation, and we'll talk better on the other side.
Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. The Grow Generation commercial team is armed with industry-leading professional consultants. Grow Generation's team will help you fully manage any size or scale project. They offer turnkey facility designs, cultivation room design, and on-site project consultation. Go to www.growgeneration.com, where the pros go to grow.
So let's say, like, see if I don't know if we're going to come into the break now.
No, we're coming in, but you keep talking.
I can just keep talking.
Mando season two thing.
the worry for, you know, for me would be, in a logical sense, if Boba leaves to go somewhere, then now Fennec has to go with him because she's like bodyguard supremo, right? Mm-hmm. Whoever, anyone could just basically go, well, palace is mine now. Fuck you, Boba Fett. I'm the new Daimo. Because that's literally, there's no one there. He doesn't have a power base built up. And I think, therefore, I think what they're doing is we're recruiting people this week. And I think, honestly, by maybe it'll be season two, maybe the end of season one, I think Mr. Kristanton will be back and he'll be working for Boba. I think you're going to end up with a Jabba-like menagerie, if you like, of people in bad sorts kind of working all for Boba Fett. But I think this season is about building that, and that's why it needs to be on kind of touching for the moment. But I think whoever is controlling events, right, or conspiring against them, the kind of the spoke in his wheel, is absolutely someone off planet. I would guess it's CD, Crimson Dawn.
Yeah. I can say this, you know, to kind of get things into a positive spin. They did finally show Boba Fett to be a true bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
Dude wants to set prices, like actually use his authority to dictate what a private business does with its. That is like the most nefarious thing on earth. Now, I can't abide by that. So finally, he's a bad guy.
But you know, that's what gangsters do. Do you know what I mean? Exactly. In some ways, you know, he wants to control it. He wants people to know that, you know, that he's running things.
Oh yeah,
that,
yeah.
You know,
I just wanted to make a
don't fuck about.
sociopolitical statement about how much of a capitalist pig I am.
There's no politics.
No. They dragged me right back here to Terra.
I'm here
on Earth.
Call me back.
And I'm here on Earth with the Boston Dynamics dogs and the fucking mice and now you're dealing with my contemporary political ideology, laissez-faire, motherfucker. Anyways, so things that I really am liking about this show, there is so many good things here. Even though the Fett character isn't what I would have done or what I would have liked to see, what they have built is good. The Tusken stuff, I thought, kind of, you know, lowering the amount that we get. I didn't expect it all to end here. I thought maybe episode 4 or 5 would be the last Tusken stuff we would see, right? This was just not where we're ripped the band-aid off, you know, cut the cord, whatever. But the action set pieces in the first couple of episodes, especially the train chase, which was great. God, what do they call it? Not a train rob. Anyways,
heist.
There you go. That was great. It's just these little things that just keep adding up between the storage choices, like we brought out in the last segment, to some of the set and prop choices. But I'll tell you what, I dug seeing Danny Trejo.
That was a good surprise
as the Rancor. Yeah, I didn't even think about who Rodriguez might bring with him. Would he bring Trejo in?
Does he just keep
Kurt Russell's next week?
Did they somehow get Banderas into the damn Star Wars universe? Like, oh my god, that would be so cool. But I didn't ever think it would be real. I like the name drop.
And he actually Rancor trainer's kind of perfect for Danny, isn't it?
You know? Oh yeah,
absolutely.
Looks as if he's took a few hits off a few of them, you know. Yeah,
I like the mention of the Witches of Dathomir, which I still stand by. We could do Star Wars horror, guys. Give me the green light, Dathomir. I got you. Star Wars horror. I got this. But yeah, I dug all of that. I'm kind of mad at Mike shattering the glass about the lack of personal interactions in the show, because it makes you sad that we might not actually, but always a season two thing. Man, yeah, that those are some of the things that I really dug, especially about this episode. Even like getting the teens, like you said, Cam, recruiting. I even like that aspect of it.
I think one of the things I like is the performances are all good so far. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of worried when the teens showed up. I thought, I'm not going to like these guys. And part of that's looking at the rides and going, I don't like that, right?
Right.
But they were okay, actually. You know, they were okay. They all didn't have much to do, but the little they did do, they kind of did quite well. You know, and I think Morrison and Ming-Na Wen are just pretty engaging any time they're in it. I thought Black Kostantin was really cool, that fight, basically kind of catching Boba when he's not getting any armor on, any weapons. I mean, it's not a very fair fight, and he was going to get absolutely killed there if it wasn't for the fact that everybody did just go suddenly, Boba Fett's in trouble. Running.
My Fett sense is tingling.
Tingling. My master is in trouble. I must flee. It was good to see like a Wookiee literally just grab two Gamooian guards and just pow, you know, because just the strength between him and little Tamura Morrison is just vastly different. So I was kind of wondering at first how they were going to get him out of it. And I love the fact that, you know, BK stabbed, hit with axes, all this shit, and he's just like, and shakes it off. So, you know, he was a badass in that.
I like the bite was cool.
It was a real fight. And that's Robert Rodriguez. If you watch his, with Robert Rodriguez's films and stuff, He's very realistic in fight scenes. It's not it's not a choreograph where it's, you know, martial arts or anything. It's almost what a real street fight would look like, you know. That deal. And that's what he used there. The biting, you know, in how the young woman, the, you know, she walks up nonchalantly, gets her knife out and just goes straight for the stab and everything, not trying to do anything, you know, crazy with it, goes right to, you know, stab in the abdomen and taking the gore.
You're right. I mean, like, the fight was well structured, and in that, I appreciate the way Rodriguez put it together. Pity, you know, he just didn't match that to the chase scene, which didn't work for me.
Mikey,
what about you, man?
So, kind of like with you guys, we got to see really the first time a Wookiee's like rage, right? That, like, in Star Wars, we've heard about it. You saw a little bit with Chewie.
What about
here.
Solo?
You know, I thought this version with Robert Rodriguez is, you know, kind of, you know, directing it. We saw a real Wookiee's rage, and we also got to learn a lot about the Rancors. And kind of their personality, or, you know, their, you know, how they interact with other beings and in being docile, and then having that first, you know, vision and attachment to the first thing it sees. And so, because besides Return of the Jedi, I think the only other time we hear, you know, talking about Rancor was in, I think, Bad Batch, when they had their one episode where they had the data capture the baby Rancor. One. And I think there was one in Attack of the Clones or Clone Wars. I mean,
when they were on Dathomir, I think.
I think
something to do with them at that point. But they're also on another planet as well. I seem to remember.
And so but it's very small, and, you know, there's that mythological. Yeah. And so, but to have Danny Trejo, you know, be the trainer, and then say, you know, and say and give kind of the that they're really, you know, you know, instinctive creatures, and that they, you know, and attached to their master, the first, you know, thing that it sees very well, and that they're very loyal and stuff. I was like, okay, this gives it kind of more depth to this, you know, this character.
Makes it more like a dog.
Yeah. And so now you look back at Return of the Jedi with Jabba's palace, that made the Rancor. What was the trainer in Return of the Jedi?
I used to know his name.
I used to know the name of it.
I can't remember his name.
The only reason why I even like have a remote know the name is because I used to play the card game, the Star Wars.
Yeah.
Like, they had Magic at the Gathering, they had Star Wars version, and he was one of the characters.
Malakili. Yeah.
So, but now you watch that and you realize that was Danny Trejo's like character for Return of the Jedi. That was his trainer. That was the Rancor trainer. So when dies, it's like, oh, like, that makes more sense now. It's like seeing, you know, instead of, because, you know, there's that, everybody kind of was like, oh, watching Return of the Jedi, you see that part and you're like, oh, okay, maybe this guy has just a weird fascination with
Rancor. I remember reading about him and
maybe they were lovers,
in Jabba's palace.
So
yeah,
you have probably read that as well, Kale, the Tales of Jabba's Palace, where you go into like how he got there and all that, and it's it's quite similar in some ways.
I mean, Disney sitting here, you know, no longer ignoring that source material. KK said they didn't have. I can't really think of like trying to think of anything that I really wanted to bring up that we didn't, because we brought up not getting off planet to see other things, the chase scene, the teens. And stuff, and I just like I said, I wouldn't 100% 3-episode rule it, but I would be really hard pressed to continue on weekly if I didn't have to. So I quit. Not
done. Me and Kat taking over the rest of the time.
Kat. No. But I would still come back. I would still want to see, especially considering a few things that we know, few things that we've talked about, Cad Bane. But there, I don't have connections to a lot of those characters. You know,
right.
Bosk is one I do to a degree. Although they're benefiting from additional storytelling that I also have not seen from the comics and,
whatnot.
So it's both enjoyable but disappointing, and that is infuriating me.
Do you think
I'm happily pissed?
Well, do you think it's because they're using the crime syndicate of the Pikes, which if you didn't watch the Clone Wars, you wouldn't watching the Clone that's the connection for me, is like the Pike syndicate. So it kind of gives me that, like, okay, I know, you know, the background behind them. I know some of the other crime syndicate families or organizations that they, you know, so it's kind of like, it's giving me that hope that each week that we keep growing and growing. Cause now it's like, I think, what was it? Just one reference to the Pikes in episode one. There's more references in episode two. And now it's like, it's kind of opening itself up as it's going to be Boba versus the Pikes.
Right. I mean,
I don't see that. You know, I have to say, I don't see it. To me, it seems obvious that
set up.
I think that's the big
Pikes
setup here.
Are a smokescreen for something else. Who they are working for.
Oh, well, I'm talking about like the first act of this show. Like the you know, there's that mid-level boss scene, you know. I think that's what this is that
we think the Pikes are the big kahunas, but they're not.
Right.
There's someone else above them. So Fett thinks he takes care of the issue here, and then here comes, you know, Big Papa whatever the fuck, you know. Papa Palpatine.
Scroll.
That's still I will say this, Disney, I will gladly trade everything you've done to get another Star Wars special allowed to make fun of everything you've done from Robot Chicken.
Yes.
Cuz that was gold. It all depends on how it lands. Like I kind of got worried a bit about, you know, Star Wars is so reliant right now on prequel era / Clone War era stories. And part of me is understanding of why, even though I think the broader fan base could be appealed to much in the way the OT does without alienating some because they aren't into the prequel era. But I get it. You've got an audience. It's making you some money. But I don't know. It just, this all makes me so much more want to go 1,000 years in either direction to get so far away from it that it'll never look or sound like what I've seen. But it can still be Star Wars. But
right.
I guess, you know, let's grade it. Episode 3. Shocky, what say you, man?
In between a very high B+, a low A-.
Okay.
Somewhere around there. I really enjoyed the Black Christian scene. Really enjoyed, you know, the Rancor. We finally got kind of somewhat closure on the Tusken Raiders. But to me, that chase scene, that, like, it took me out of it. And I was like, what could have been done in 30 seconds or less, you know, got dragged out for a little bit longer. But then it's interesting to see with the Pikes, you know, coming on to Tatooine, and it's got me intrigued to seeing where is that going? Because we still don't understand the value of that planet. You know, there's water, there's some spices. Why is there, you know, a big crime syndicate? Why are the Hutts, you know, so invested into this planet? Why, you know, are the Pikes invested in it? Why does Boba, you know, care about Tatooine so much? So maybe we'll finally figure that out.
Okay. So you said B+?
Yeah, I'll go with B+.
Okay. Cam?
Well, my written review, I gave it a B-. I'm not really going to change it. It was definitely my least favorite episode of the three. Other than the BK Boba Fett fight, and even then, I kind of was annoyed at how he just appeared out of nowhere to do that. But I just didn't like the direction overall of this episode. I didn't particularly like the design of some of the elements. So it wasn't, this, as I said earlier on, it wasn't the script of this episode that was my issue. It was the execution. I just didn't think it was well executed, and it took away from it a lot. So, yeah, B minus.
I have a lot of problem with the chase scene, the bikes themselves, the speeder bikes themselves. And then, like I said, just several moments, like no guard is able to stop the Wookiee. Hey, the Wookiee gets all the way up there. It takes that long for them to get to him. It's a C plus. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's a C plus.
And part of it, straws that break the camel's back. Back's not broken yet, but it's getting that there for me on some things. But like I said, I want to like it. I really do. And I think that might even be what's making it more aggravating to me, is because I could see where
potential.
Changing the way you executed it, so to speak. Not changing story elements, you know? And that I think I might be kind of getting to that.
I think too, we're getting so used to the formula now, because we've gotten two seasons of Mando, now this, where we kind of expect, okay, first half of the season's going to be very sluggish, very slow. We're not going to get a whole lot about, you know, we're going to get little tidbits of details of the story. And then the last half is, you know, backloaded with all these bam, bam, bam. So kind of, you know, Kyle, you're saying is that you're almost at the point where, hey, I might walk away, but it's going to take that next episode to really sink me in and say, all right, I'm in it, back in it all the way. Because Mando season two is, that formula is the same thing, where the first four episodes, you know, we get to see a Krayt dragon for the first time, but then it really there wasn't much there.
And then it's time, but it's done. I'll still a lot better than this.
But I also remember too, and I don't want to like defend it too much, because I understand that it was filmed during different circumstances.
So, we brought that up during our Wheel of Time discussion. Yeah. That, you know, how the pandemic can affect the things. And if you're interested in that discussion, you can find it over here at lrmonline.com. I know, right? It's almost like I'm a professional. And now I forgot where I was.
Megan reviewed. You'll find it on
Reverse. Yeah, you'll find everything on the genreverse.com, lrmonline.com, the Genreverse Podcast Network, as Cam was pointing out. Wherever you get your podcast from, I'm showing you Spotify right now. No Mercy Podcast did our middle episode covering the last covering episodes 4, 5, and 6 of Cobra Kai. It's a really great show. Suggest you guys check it out. Daily Cup of Genre, Animeversal Reviews, Marvel Multiverse Mayhem, Breaking Geek, The Cantina, all sorts of other things, including the Dragon Reviewed, where we talked about the Wheel of Time, which also had very obvious production issues, not necessarily in distancing, but the way cuts were made, ADR, and things like that.
Actors disappearing.
And of course, our brand new Genreverse YouTube channel. Please do subscribe to it, and don't leave the LRM YouTube channel, because all of our celebrity interviews still go up on there. Cam, what do you want to say? Plug social media or whatever.
Nothing, just remember to check out lrmonline.com for news, stories about film, rumours, and all our kind of interviews. You can find all the podcasts on there as well, you know, because we do have them all kind of come on the front page. But yeah, there's a lot more on the actual website itself too.
Sharky?
No, just a big thank you for those who listen to our shows and, you know, who subscribe. And, you know, we do this, you know, for fun, but also, you know, kind of celebrate the nerd and geekdom that we, you know, all share together and stuff. So for those of you who sit here and listen to us, just normal guys, you know, just talking about Star Wars or any of the other podcasts, we really appreciate it.
Yep, absolutely. And with that, guys, may the Force be with you. Bye.